Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. I am Kate Loving-Shank and Joan Adams, and I host this show. Astrology's astrologer will join us tonight, and we will be discussing the momentous occasion of Uranus changing signs from Pisces to Aries. Look out, world! We will never be the same again! Joining us now is Joan Adams.
Hello,
dear Joan.
How are you? I'm fine. Excited.
Good. Yes. I was just chatting a little bit with Sheila before the show, and I can only begin to say that this should be very interesting.
Oh, good.
So joining us now is Astrology's Astrologer.
That was big
hello,
hype.
Hello, Sheila.
Big hype.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm back from Florida, and I was in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh.
And I heard everybody say, have a magical day. And, you know, I thought everybody in Disney World is happy. They're all happy people.
They are
and
happy.
So, you know, even their, this woman that was, she was cleaning up, this dear woman, even the help, I sat down and she came and had this great long conversation with me. I said, you're so sweet. And she said, have a magical day.
Oh, boy.
So
they need it.
Huh?
I bet they're, I would like to think that the people that they work for have an enlightened viewpoint on how to treat their employees.
Oh.
I think they do. But I think even if you fake it till you make it, if you're doing that all day, you become joyful.
Yeah.
Kathy worked there. Our daughter worked there for
did she?
Twice. She
uh-huh.
did two semesters there. And the training is extensive.
Uh-huh.
And
oh.
they are very, very strict about all of that. You know, that they are cast members playing a role.
I found them extremely gracious and
yes.
Extremely wonderful. I mean, it was so funny because we had to leave at 4:00 in the morning. So I called the baggage person at the desk and I said, would you come and get our bags? And the person was tired. You could tell, you know. And she said, oh, hello. And I said, have a magical day. And she started roaring. She really started laughing. And I said, gotcha.
Yeah.
But,
oh, my gosh.
I it is these children that work there, these dancers, and the ones, they walk on stilts, they dance, they come down the streets, they dress in those costumes, and it's 110 degrees.
Right.
You're like cooking, and you look at them, and you go, oh, my gosh, that
yeah.
is amazing. Of course, we were there for, I call it a Hollywood wedding. It was a wedding that's been planned for a year. That was in Sarasota. What was that? The Lido Beach Resort. And
uh-huh.
it took place at 6:00 at night on the beach. I want to tell you there's no place hotter than 6:00 at night on a Florida beach. I mean, and these men were sitting around in their penguin suits, you know, and they were like, I was like, oh, my God, you know. And but it was I've never seen sand so white. It was the turquoise ocean. And, you know, it just I was just praying for it to stay that way, okay? With no oil spills or anything to come to it.
Please.
I just kept putting a light around it. Okay, so I'm back after 8 days, so I guess I'm ready to go. What I'm going to do tonight is absolutely just a transit chart for the moment, which means right now as this show began, I threw a chart for 6 o'clock tonight. On May the 29th, 2010, Uranus went to 0 degrees of Aries, which is Uranus has, you know, for the last 30 years, Uranus, you know, went into Aquarius and then it went into Pisces, both of them being transcendent signs, both of them being signs of, you know, esoteric kind of behind the veil signs. So the lessons were a little more subtle. I'll put it that way. What's happening now is that also on June the 7th, Jupiter went to 0 degrees of Aries. Now, what we call that is a conjunction. It means that both Jupiter and Uranus are together at the same space at 0 degrees of Aries. What we're seeing now is, you know, like in Texas yesterday, there was another blowout. It wasn't, you know, another, it was on land and it blew out, and it's like that's Uranus and Aries. Now,
wait a minute. What blew up? I'm sorry.
Oh, there was another oil break. There was another explosion in Texas.
Okay.
I mean, of course, this was on land, and they could contain it, but it still was sudden, and it still, you know, was another blowout. And Uranus is. Uranus is like lightning, okay? Also, Uranus, it rules how we're speaking to each other, the three of us, and who is listening to us, because nobody can see us. It was a gas. Joanne just came in and said it was gas, the one that blew out in Texas, okay? So Uranus is the electromagnetic energy in the universe of how we are all connected together, okay? So what is that going to do with Uranus and Aries? I mean, the communication now is like there's not something that happens anywhere in the world that instantly is not known, okay? Let's take, for instance, Helen Thomas saying this thing, the woman, you know, the 90-year-old woman that's been that journalist.
Yeah.
I mean, that woman came out and said that to somebody that was standing there, not when she was seated in there, but she came outside and said that. Now, at another time, that would have gone nowhere. But somebody had their iPod or their camera on and put it right on YouTube.
And what did she say?
Oh, she said that the whole Palestinian thing that Joanne, what exactly did she say? Joanne knows, but it was very volatile. You know, I really don't pay a lot of attention. Like, get out of Palestine and go home, and go back to your own countries. And the guy said, well, where they should go? Well, go to America, go to Poland, go wherever, but just get out.
So, in other words, there was no compassion whatsoever for the Palestinians.
No.
Yeah, this is a problem. Now, this is a problem in our country. You know, I believe that...
Wait a minute, Kate. The Jews should leave. The Jews should leave. They should go back to Germany, Poland, and America. That's what she said. Because they were the occupiers.
Okay.
But, you know, it was a volatile statement. And after all, in one instance, this woman's been there. She's been with 10 presidents. That one sentence, three sentences, almost wiped out her whole career, according to the media.
Well, you know, the thing is that we have this crazy pro-Israel stand in this country, and it's like you can't say anything that goes outside of that or you are branded for life, and that's wrong. She had every right to say what she wanted to say.
We're in America. And you're supposed to be able to say what you're able to say, especially if you're a journalist.
Especially if you're 90.
Exactly right.
What,
yeah.
Give me a break. He's 90 years old.
Right on.
Thank
right
you,
on,
Joan.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's so true.
But Uranus and Jupiter magnifies things. So Jupiter makes things even bigger, even bigger. I was listening to Pickens on Larry King Live, and I was listening to John Cameron. I was listening to this man. Really listening to Pickens because he's an oil man, you know?
Yeah.
And
he said,
this is day 50 of this oil spill. He said it took them 290 days to clean one up over in another country, and it was only 200 feet deep. He said, America wants a quick fix, and America can't have a quick fix. He said, because that's not the way this works. And he said, they keep saying, just cap it. And he said, if they just cap it without any relief, there will be an explosion deep down under the earth that it will come up other places, and they will have no control. So the energy that would be gathered by just plugging it the wrong way would be catastrophic.
Right. Okay.
So I thought that was very interesting, and that's Pluto in Capricorn. Now, the Plutonic energy in Capricorn is about corporations. We've had this whole thing with banks. We've had this whole thing going on. And, you know, I mean, right now it's almost like humanity itself has got to stop turning all of it over to corporations. We have to start taking responsibility for self. We have to start, and, you know, what the good thing that came out of this, and they're not letting him do it, but all these fishermen and all these men that have boats ready to go out and skim the water, and BP says they can't do it because they did not. That BP is doing the Plutonic thing in Capricorn of hiding it, and now the fishermen and all those people, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. There was a woman walking the beach, and she said, they told me not to touch this oil spill because the experts are going to handle it. She said, would you please pan your cameras around? Do you see any?
Yeah.
There is
no.
I don't see an expert anywhere.
Right.
So, you know, it means that things, Pluto in Capricorn is bringing things up to the top that cannot be hidden anymore. And it's really very, very interesting, and it's with Uranus. Now, Uranus will go retrograde, which means it'll stop on July the 7th, and then it goes back into Pisces August the 15th, and then it goes direct again December the 6th, 2010, and then it's back into Aries March the 13th, 2010. So we are just getting a taste of Uranus in Aries now. Usually the big planets go in and then they retrograde back out for a while to say this is what it's going to be like. But things are going to come to a head instantly. I mean, it's no longer that things are going to be able to be hidden. Because Uranus and Jupiter, now, you know, with the United States of America's chart, with the Sun in Cancer and Jupiter in Cancer and this Cancer in the United States chart, that means that fills in the square, because now we have Pluto in Capricorn. We have 00 Aries of Uranus and Jupiter, and then we have Saturn at 0 degrees of Libra, which means that is going to be the other side of the square, and then we have the United States Sun. So this is all about the United States really being put up to owning responsibility for what's going on. And that means everybody, you know. I mean, the media tends to be hysterical. The media tends to try to whip everybody up into saying, you know, well, how many things are coming out of the oil well? What's coming out of the oil well? You know, it's not a quick fix. It's not going
to
be
Americans have to come to terms with their dependence and addiction to oil. And
yes.
That's where we have to take that's how we have to take responsibility.
Yes. Well, you know, they were talking about the worst thing that they feared. Do you know what it is? It's a hurricane. Because if a hurricane hits there, it's hurricane season. If a hurricane hits there, they have to pull that boat off. They have to take that boat, and they have to take it out. And
yeah.
Then they were talking about it raining oil. Because a tornado or hurricane will pick that oil up into, you know, and it can actually rain oil. I thought that was really a pretty interesting. So one of the big worries is that.
Yeah, well, listen, that will cause a lot of health problems. And you know, it would be very nice if we can call on the unseen forces, because let's face it, that's the only thing that's really going to help at this time. These oil people and these so-called experts don't have a clue as to what to do. And we really shouldn't be doing this offshore drilling. And as somebody is mentioning here in the chat room, Cheney is, you know, and his gang with that, and what is it? It's not Enron, but it's that company.
Yes.
That
three things blew in that rig. The cement blew at the bottom of the rig, and then the thing around the tube went out. There had to be all those things in place. Three different things had to go out on that for it to do what it did. So all it pulled, the cement thing pulled away. But then if they had spent the money to have the rig right, it would have been capped right there in the middle. It wouldn't have been able to come up. We're talking about a mile down here. We're talking about really, really far down. And, you know, I understand what you said, Kate. But, you know, John Cameron, it was interesting to me. He said, I called them morons. You know. He said, but we have really the best minds in the world on this. You know, the best minds in the world in how to stop this. And it's not a quick fix, and they're going to really have to do. And, you know, Jupiter, Uranus with Jupiter and Aries, somehow someone could hit on something that it could be. But, you know, Pickens, who I think really knows the oil thing, said it's going to take till August to do relief wells. And he said, this is like a Band-Aid.
Uh-huh.
He said, it's like a Band-Aid. Oil's going to come up. He said, so you might as well not, you know, hide it from the American people. Then tell them the truth that the relief wells will not be in place till late August. And he said, and that will be a miracle if they get them in place by then.
But have you seen the guy with the hay and the oil the hay soaks up the oil. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
There are like three of those guys who have real practical applications. But I was wondering, is it against the law, like you were talking about the lady walking on the beach, and she was told not, can we as a people not do something toward the cleanup, at least save some of the animals?
Well, they're starting to disobey. it sounds terrible, but BP is running it, and humanity is starting to disobey BP. They're starting to say, who are these people that are trying to tell us that we can't clean up our own waters and we can't clean up our own land?
I mean, that's public land, I would think.
Yes, well, they got $75 million yesterday to get these skimmers out on the water. And can you imagine if they'd already been out?
Yeah.
They could have cleaned up, I mean, not all of it, but a lot of stuff.
Well, just a little bit. I just saw some, they were these gorgeous birds, and I thought, oh my gosh, if I could just take that bird and roll him in some hay. Just one or two birds. Let's save what we can.
Do you remember that glorious story about the starfish or whatever? This man was walking along and throwing them back in the ocean, and somebody, they had all been on the shore, and they said, to him. It's a beautiful story. They said to him, why are you doing that? You can only save one or two. You know, you can't save many. He said, but it's important to the one or two I save.
Right. Right.
So that's what you're saying, Joan.
Yeah.
You're saying it's important, you know, if you indeed save one or two birds. And why can't they put something on television to tell people how to do it?
Right.
Instead of saying it's so over their heads that they can't do it.
Right. I mean, we're not stupid. You know, if every we were talking about it last night, and I was saying if say, you know, 200,000 people took a bale of hay down to the ocean, down to the shore, you know, that would make a little bit of difference. It would make a dent in it, it seems to me. We're, you know, there's power in numbers.
So then you go, what is the lesson in all this? The lesson is all this is to not listen to an invisible authority that's telling you what to do and what not to do. You know, BP. The lesson is, if you feel like going out and skimming the water, what you said, it's free water. Go do it. If it's, you know, it's their livelihood that's going to
be
affected.
They would not likely be arrested for such a thing.
I don't know that. Maybe somebody in the chat room knows that. I think, you know, being arrested would be a good thing because that would put it on the media would pick that up, you know.
There's somebody on the line here. Let's just see who it is.
Okay.
Hello there.
Hi, you talking to me?
Yeah.
Hi. Hi, I'm Mel. I'm just listening in, actually. I'm a first-time caller. And
welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm sure I will enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you have any insights here about what we have to what we can do to save our planet from this diabolical corporate takeover of the company?
I know that's what it is, and I feel that with prayer and meditation, I feel that we can take the planet back. I really do. I mean, I really do. I mean, many people are very upset about this, and I think it's just particularly, I think, I read today that I think the oil spill happened. I think Saturn, was it in opposition with Uranus, I think, which was April 20th?
Yes, Saturn went to 0 degrees of Libra. Okay,
yes,
and that is in, it's now gone back into Virgo again.
Exactly, and then I think Uranus was also in Pisces when this happened. Also.
Yeah, so Uranus is in Pisces, and then on May the 29th it went into Aries.
Exactly, and to my point, this happened. It was a pivotal time, I think, again to bring awareness to destruction of that's what's happened to the planet, and I think people need to, you know, start praying about it, start using the power that we have as individuals and coming together and make a change and make a difference. So I think it's significant that it happened, according to
what's your name?
Mel. I'm from Philadelphia.
Hi, Mel from Philadelphia.
Mel, thank you for calling. We appreciate
it. You're welcome. I'll continue to listen.
Okay.
Reverend Glass here said that Emoto's work with the water, all his work around praying for the, you know, peace in the water and playing, you know, because it's in the water. This is in the water. And and that his work is all around this kind of thing. And, you know, really sending energy and prayer to the water, because the water, I mean, the planet, as we know, is a living energy, and this is part of its body, and it can heal it. I mean, it is, you know, we don't give it enough credit about its ability to heal these kind of things. And there is always a positive in every negative. There is always something that we learn, some spiritual lesson. So there is a major spiritual lesson that's happening here. And I think with Uranus and Jupiter in Aries, and as he said, Saturn is in Libra, and then it goes retrograde January 13th, and it goes big. It went in, and then It went back to Virgo April the 6th, 2010, and then went direct May 2010. And it's coming back into Libra July 22nd, 2010. So that will mean that we have this square going, this T-square going, you know, with all of the cardinal planets. And the cardinality of that, along with the United States of America's Sun in Cancer, means the people are going to be responsible. It's time, you know, I'm not for the whole Tea Party thing. But in many ways, it's easy to bitch and not to take responsibility. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like Joan said, okay, get out there with the bales of hay and do it. You know, do it. Not just complain about it.
So. And tell Joanne, which her point is very well taken about the healing of the water. I mean,
Joanne said your point's well taken, Emoto.
And this ties in with what Mel was saying.
You come here a minute.
About what Mel was saying about directing healing energy and praying. But I think that we should, as you say, direct that healing energy into the water. I think that is the perfect solution to this problem.
Well, this is Joanne speaking. I've been doing this ever since this thing started because. With this Jupiter thing, the thing about this is that while the negative is great, the positive can be equally great and even more manifest now because there are a whole bunch of us light givers that are holding that energy in place. And it is really up to us now to stand firm, to stand tall, and believe in what we're going to walk the talk, to do it. And I'm telling you, it's going to... Some miracles can happen with this, and I can hardly wait to see them. Okay? That's
wow.
My...
Good.
Joanne,
yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you so much. That's so cool.
No, yeah. No, I'm telling you, friends, this is true.
I believe that.
Bam it. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Totally. Bye.
Yeah, that's really good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and the point is with Jupiter and Uranus and Aries, it can be an instant miracle. That's the point of these two planets in conjunction with each other. It can be instant. Now, Mars just went to 0 degrees of Virgo. There's a lot of 0 degree stuff happening here in the chart right now with the planets. So we are at the beginning of something very new. We are at the beginning mentally. You know, Virgo's mental, physical. Each line has, it's an M, and each one of the lines for me has a meaning. One is mental, one is physical, one is emotional, and the glyph that turns in is spiritual. So, you know, a lot of times people get mixed up with physical and emotional. They take Mars, Venus, and Mercury, and they'll just say, I'm stuck. You know, I can't move. And that's a way to hide your emotions. Really in a chart when I'm working with somebody. You have to really say what is making you feel stuck. You have to get past when you're working into the moon energy, the emotional energy, and the energy that is really keeping somebody really stuck because anger, rage, you know, and all of this anger and rage that's going on around the oil spill, if you chunk it up bigger, and, you know, the banks and everything, all this anger and rage is just keeping it going.
Yes.
So it means we have to step back and say, what can we do and how is each one of us responsible for this? And how can we respond in an enlightened way?
Mm-hmm.
And we can do that. The sun is in Gemini. We're going to get a lot of information now. Actually, we're getting a lot of information. We're going to get more information about oil now than we've ever had before. You know, we can jump to conclusion, but, you know, Pickens, and he's going for, you know, he's an oil man that's trying to get solar energy on the planet. And he said this is an opening where, you know, people are going to have to talk.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to have conversations now about this. And, That's good.
That's a good thing.
That's a fabulous.
I still say the most important thing, the healing of the water and the beautiful crystalline shapes that we can image. But the fact is that we really need to break our addiction to oil. That is one of the worst addictions that there is.
Yeah.
It really beats alcohol. It beats heroin. It beats cigarettes. And it's just something that people don't really like to talk about because we're all sort of in this addiction together. It's kind of a mass addiction. I think we need to really address the addiction.
There's a lot of solar energy going on in Florida that I saw, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People are beginning to do it. They are beginning to do it, Kate. They're beginning to get electric cars. They're beginning, you know, they're beginning to do it. So we have to really give credit to the ones that are beginning to really do it.
Yes.
Because they're there, and, you know, you have to give credit to a lot of these movie stars. I mean, they have a big media, they have media in their corner, and when they drive to Academy Awards and stuff in electric cars, that's saying a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, you know, if not to this generation, to the next, because a lot of them hold them, you know, in high esteem, these, you know, rock stars and stuff. My little speech.
I like
your
speech.
I mean, I live on a river.
What?
And I live on the Conestoga River.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that I will, I think that we all need to find our nearest water streams, our waterways, nearest waterways, and we need to, send the water that is nearest to us,
mm-hmm.
go out into the spheres and, all of it. Go together and just cleanse the areas and get a solution to this whole thing, because I don't think BP is going to come to us. I don't really think the solution is coming through BP.
No, I don't.
Well, nor, no,
let's face it, folks. BP wants this fixed. I mean, they really want this fixed. I mean, they did, this disaster is on them, and they're trying everything they can in God's green earth to get this fixed. That's one plus, you know.
Well, but on the other hand, they're so secretive about what it is that they've done and are doing.
They're not good with the media. They're not transparent, and that's a big mistake that they made, not being transparent with the media, because they should take a little thing out of Sandra Bullock's book. I mean, she just came out and said, get off me, you know. I'm a train wreck. This is a train wreck, but this is the way it is. So now go back to playing, folks. You know? I would tell a lot of people, if they have not got it or seen it, to get Messages from Water, Emoto's book. If a lot of people meditate on this beautiful book, I have it here. I have one in Chinese because my friend was over there and brought one back from China. But it's, some of the beautiful pictures in it, like the Fountain at Lourdes is just a beautiful crystal, and all these places where people pray around the water constantly, the water comes up just gorgeous. And then, you know, they show places where there is real disaster, and these pictures of the water are just, you know, horrible, horrible. You know, New Zealand here, Mount Cook Glacier is beautiful, and, you know, it's just if you want to get this book to get the pictures of the holy places and where people meditate around water, it's just it's just a beautiful water. I mean, a beautiful book about if water supports life. You know, the oceans support this planet with oxygen and everything. And I think we need to get prayer circles at the ocean and down there in Louisiana. If people stood on the beach and just focused on the water, they haven't done that yet.
I was going to just mention to Joan.
Yeah.
Are you there? And, and everybody in the chat room, I just want to say that when you, this gentleman named Emoto, who has done the research.
E-M-O-T-O. You can go to his site, too.
I was going to say that when you concentrate on love, joy, you put the love into the water. He has proven that the water just, oh, my gosh, you should see the beautiful crystalline geometric shape that it takes. It's just beautiful clarity, beautiful looking shape to it. But if you then, like with all the anger that's going on about BP and everything and everybody's just ranting and raving, that kind of energy really gnarls up the energy of the water.
Yes.
The energy of the water just gets really cloudy and ugly and just erratic. But actually, putting that other energy, a higher vibrational energy into the water, makes it absolutely beautiful. So that's what we're talking about by consciously looking at the water, that the water really responds.
Well,
and
he's done all these experiments where they played high opera and the water was beautiful. And then they played really horrible music, and the water just went into these horrible, horrible patterns. They've done research after research about with the water in relationship to music and sound. It's just it's incredible work that he's done. Really.
Yeah. So this is. I just wanted to kind of put a little background into it because that is very powerful, and I pretty much forgot about it and. And I appreciate us discussing it right now. I think it's really the key to this. I really do. And the fact is that maybe we this whole thing is bringing it home to us how we have to direct healing. And instead of just thinking that BP has to do it, we have to do it. We all have to do it. It was like when TMI blew up around here in 1979. There were a lot of intentional prayers being put forth. A lot of us did not leave. And there was this huge hydrogen bubble that if it had burst, I think we would have been pretty much next to Chernobyl in the catastrophic nuclear accident that we were just about to have. But we all were praying on the reduction of the hydrogen bubble. And it worked. I mean, it worked. And I really have always believed that energy was what did it.
I always said if we all constant, like the harmonic conversion, everybody all over the planet was praying, you know, what if we did that every day? I mean, it would be amazing. I mean, if every day people took even 15 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day of everybody on the planet just prayed for peace and love and the end of war and all, I wonder what would, you just wonder what would happen. And without any religion, without any of that stuff, imagine just all the people. I sound like John Lennon. Imagine. You know, no religion, no borders, no political stuff, just everybody praying for the planet and peace and unity and connection. I just want to put a little thing out on the radio about Janine Ross' book, Women, Food, and God. It sounds like it's a book just about food, but it is a book that is just life-changing when you read it. It's not a big book. It's not, but it is what she talks about.
I just saw it. I must get it.
Well, Kate, I think you'll love it. It's about every when we eat, we look at what we put on our plate, and it's how we connect with God. It's how it starts out. So she has 80 people in a workshop sit around, and then they have, just like I work with drawing, she works with a plate of food. No one's allowed to eat till everybody gets served. And just what comes up for you in if you get mad or what you put on your plate or if you're belligerent or if you are, you know, just put a pea and a piece of lettuce on your plate or whatever is on your plate and what kind of emotions comes up around that, that's how you are connected to the universe and to God.
Wow.
It goes on. That's the way it starts. But it goes on from there. And two of my friends, one in Harrisburg and one in Summer, it literally put them to bed, this book. It is that dynamic. It goes from Brian Katie's work. And is that true? Is that really true? How does it make you feel? And how would it make you feel if you think differently? It takes her work to another, to a different kind of level. I'm not saying better, but it's coming from the perception of reality from a different way. And it really is a book. You know, I only plug certain, like Brian Katie's work I plug because she's fabulous. But, you know, Kate, you like her work, so I think you would like Janine Ross' work here. It goes right on from there. It's a beautiful, and how we eat, and, you know, and if we would just be in the moment, because if we overeat, if we do alcohol, drugs, or anything, it means we're not in the moment. We're in a knot somewhere else in time. That we're trying to diminish those feelings. We're trying to push them down, and it's really quite fascinating, you know.
It's called, I'm going to put this in the chat room. It's called Love, Food, and God.
Women, Food, and God. Women, Food, and God. And her name is Janine.
Okay.
It's spelled with a G. G E E N E N Roth. R-O-T-H. And Emoto's book is Messages from Water. That's another one you should put in there, especially at this time. It's a great book. His CD is great, too. I have the cards also right here. I'm going to get them out. His CD and his DVD, all of them are wonderful. But he's online, you know. But somebody sent me his DVD, which is quite. I think, you know, if I love the Dalai Lama, and it was in Time magazine, this last Time magazine. They asked him about all the things that are happening and all of the war and all of everything. He said, but people don't give the light people enough credit. They don't give the people that are praying and the people that are holding the light and the people that are focusing on the good energy. They are there, and they don't get enough credit.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, and he says he thinks it's equal. He thinks it's equal, but he said the media and all that's not dramatic enough.
We
don't focus on peace. We focus on drama and war and all of those things. What if we all started to focus? What if we had an evening news program that was nothing about peace and love? Wouldn't that be super?
Well, there's this wonderful woman who will be on this show.
Mm-hmm.
In a few weeks, and she has what is called the Good News Gazette on
great.
The internet.
I think that's
and
one.
It is exactly like that. It's news that they have, that they ferret out from all over the world that is positive and loving and very empowering. So she's done that, and she is, I think that's one of the most important things that people can do, because the media, as you say, is just focused on the problem and not the solution and the drama. And it's just, especially in this country, I think it's probably not quite like that everywhere else, but we're not really seeking out the truth when it comes to real journalism. And I think it hurts us.
It does. It does. Even Anderson Cooper is going for the dramatic in this. However, you know, I thought that Pickens said a wonderful thing. He said, let's not forget the 11 people lost their lives in this, people that were just doing their job, that were not at fault, and that there should be some focus of honoring these men, you know, these miners and these oil people that lost their lives here. And
I totally agree.
You know, he said these families are grieving, and this whole thing has become bigger than honoring their grief, which I thought about. That was really interesting. That's really, you know, we should be thinking about those families. And, you know, I don't know. It's John Cameron's group, you know, he's done all this work under the water with robots.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, all that stuff where the robots picked, they went down and they went through ships and they went way down. So that group of men all got together with representatives of these companies and all to see how they could help with that knowledge and that information. So that's,
yeah.
You know, that's like a positive thing that's coming out of this. You know, people crossing lines and having conversations, you know, people that would not listen to people in other times. And that's what it's about now. It's all about communication. This is an information age. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, YouTube, Facebook, I mean, it's just an information age. I remember the astrologers talking about that this was coming, that it was going to be just an information age. Even though he had a problem with his iPod the other night.
yes.
That was funny. He couldn't even get on the net himself. Didn't you think that was funny? So.
Yeah. We have to have a sense of humor about all of this because
we do. Go absolutely crazy.
What, darling? Yeah.
You have to choose. You laugh or cry, you know.
I've decided my meditation for the day every time I wake up is have a magical day.
Yeah. Have a magical day.
That's what I learned from, and dreams do come true. That's the other sentence.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking as you were telling that, too, there's a book that I read when I was grieving, but she suggested that you buy Joy detergent. Because it reminded you to be joyful, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
to have
a magical day. It's the same thing as you and me and Betty doing the SWs, Kate. It's we do SW at each other at the end of chats and emails. It means something wonderful. Something wonderful is going to happen to you today. It's, you know, it's changing that mental focus thing. But the Disney people even will arrange your washcloth to look like a little animal on your pillow. Did they do that?
Yes,
yeah.
They did.
Anything that gives you a giggle. You know,
all the towels were made up that looked like Mickey Mouse on the bed when we went in the room.
Right. I mean, you know, that's a little thing. It's like the Joy detergent. It's a happy.
You become a kid.
Raises you. Yes. But anything that lifts you to a happier, higher plane.
I have to tell you, coming back on the one tram, it was a bus, and the one Disney bus, and these boys were standing in front of me, and the boy in front of me, they were boys that had won contests from all over the world. It was so fun. And this boy was from South Africa. And I said, how do you like America? First of all, I said, what ride did you like the best? What place? He said, Animal Kingdom. And I said, what city? And he said, I hated New York because it rained on my pizza. but you know what he said that was so beautiful? He said, in America, everybody talks to you. He said, people are so nice. And I have made so many friends. And he said, you know, I'm from South Africa. And with that gorgeous accent, I said, I never would have guessed, you know. But the boy in the end had won an archery contest, and he was going to go for the Olympics. And so I thought, my gosh, here I am sitting on this bus in time talking to these boys from all over the world, you know. And what a wonderful place America is. Where else can you do that?
Yeah, yeah.
You know. It was delightful. It was one of the delightful things of my trip. The other delightful thing was we flew out of Harrisburg Airport, and some of these kids were going to Disney World for the first time on the plane, and some of the adults were groaning, and I was like, oh, this is so great. And when the plane went up, they yelled, "Whee!" And I was just thrilled. I thought, oh, my God, it was just so joyful, you know. You know, and that's the way I felt in Disney World, even though it was hot and my feet hurt and all that. It's still joyful. And you know, the other thing I thought is all these kids are riding around in these little carts and the parents are pushing them. They're not walking. They're just yelling, go over here. Go over there. So
I'm fascinated that Kathy, your daughter Joan Kathy, worked at Disney And that she, it must have been a very intense experience for her.
It's extremely, and they take 2,000 students from around the world every year, college students. And they go there, they all live together. And they have apartments and stuff, and they live together, they play together, they work together. You know, it's an amazing thing. And they, trying to tell you too much too fast, but they work toward what is called a doctorate degree. It's, you know, well, Kathy went the first time, and she was in love and all that, and she didn't do her chores. And she came home and went back to school and went back to work, whatever. And she came in one night, she said, "Mom, I want to go back and do the college program again. Do you think they'll let me?" And so, anyway, she reapplied, and they took her. And she said, "I really want my doctorate degree," which just tickled me, you know. But she was on opening cast for the Animal Kingdom. And saw that tree go up. Did you go over there?
No, we didn't go to that one.
The tree will make you weep. It is just beautiful with all these carvings of all the animals. And and she would write and she would say, "I start my morning sitting in front of that tree." I mean, it is it's gorgeous.
Is it an old tree?
No, it's a man-made tree. But they have carved into the tree. It's huge, like tremendous. Well, you walk inside of it to go see a show. I mean, it's, you know. But the trunk is all carvings of animals, hand-carved. And that is gorgeous. It will take your breath away. It's beautiful.
I'm going back just to see the tree.
Yes, it is beautiful. And the Animal Kingdom, I mean, you know, people like us that love the animals, you'd just love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it.
There's so much.
And they are they control back then. I mean, that was, 10, 15 years ago, I guess, that Kathy was there. But, you know, they have a certain way that they point when they're giving directions.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot wear but certain types of makeup.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, they don't. They hire these gals and guys that are wholesome looking.
Yep.
And that smile stays on no matter what. And but they are taught that they are caste. The other thing I wanted to say to you, Kate, on that same subject, while we're all over this Disney thing, Disney has a program where they will come in, like to your hospital, and train your people in that kind of that management style. And what they do is they catch people doing things right. If you do something right, like Kathy and those would get little Tinkerbell cards when they got caught doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get rewards for those little Tinkerbell cards.
Mm-hmm.
But you reward employees for doing something right.
Great.
My question would be, what do they do if they think that you've done something wrong?
I imagine you'd go home if it was too bad. You don't do wrong down there. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's not the norm. You either believe in what you're doing down there or you don't.
If you believe
in your heart,
you'll know.
You have to buy it 100% or you wouldn't even be happy working there.
Oh, well, this guy that took us through, you know, he's the one that, you know, you saw the movies from 1941.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go through that, Joan?
No, this has been years since I've been there.
Oh, it's just so, you know, you look over and James Cagney's standing there right beside you. You're like, and you know, it's just, I was crying. It was just beautiful. But the guy that, you know, put us in the thing and got us out, I said, you're absolutely the most breathtakingly handsome guy I've ever seen. And he said, "Thank you very much." I said, "Are you going in the movies?" He said, "Well, I'm trying." I was like, "Oh my God," you know?
Yeah.
They're really cast, you know, and the kids that are running Elmo and that group, they were so much fun. And you know, it's just fun. And
it is fun.
It's fun except for Star Wars was closed and I was very upset.
Yes, I would have been too.
I wanted
it's a happy place. If I walk into Disney,
mm-hmm.
I took my Randy was like 4 years old the year they opened, and I took Randy one day while Whitey was playing golf, and we did Disney that first year. But
How do people play golf in Florida, Joan?
Oh, I don't know. You know, people play golf in anything.
It is so hot.
I know.
All of these bridegrooms, the groomsmen, they had a party and they were drinking all night, and then they were on the golf course at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Go on,
no
Joan. I'm sorry.
They love it. They love it. But anyway, if I went tonight and walked into the Magic Kingdom and saw Cinderella's castle, I would weep.
Mm-hmm.
I do
cried.
It every time. I'm like a little kid. I have no sense at all down there.
When you
None.
See that castle, you cry. Why is
yes,
that?
Yes, you cry.
You just sob. You stand there and sob. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It brings out.
It's all of your childhood
mm-hmm.
dreams. It's magic. It is really magic.
And then they go up there and they say, everybody make a wish. And then they say, and now your dreams will come true. And the fire sparks come right out of the castle. And you go, oh my gosh, what if everybody did this all the time, right?
Yeah.
You're right. I'm so glad you loved it. I love it. I love it. Love it, love it.
Yes,
it's a magic place. Yeah.
Yes, and you know, Snow White was standing there and this little girl on the bridge and Snow White turned and said, you know, because she was stopped and the kids were right around, she looked over at us and said, I'm so sorry. I said, no. this is great, you know. Mm-hmm. It's great watching these kids, and they think she's real.
Sure they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it will stay with them forever.
Yes. Did I tell you, Jessica took ballet at the age of 4
mm-hmm.
and was in a production of Peter Pan.
Right.
And she believed they were all real. All of those, and they were students, of course, but she believed every character was real.
Mm-hmm.
And after the ballet, we were standing in the lobby meeting them. And then we took this little girl and we walked out the door, she and her mom and I, and that baby looked up in the sky and said, 2 stars to the right and straight ahead till morning. I weep every time I think about it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's
oh. Just tore me to pieces. But she totally believed it.
Yes.
Just.
Yes. Mm. You have to go with the magic, don't you, Joan?
Oh, yeah. It just tears me up.
Yes.
Oh.
That little thing quoting that line. But she, you know, as far as she was concerned, they were flying through the air.
Well, they were.
And they were. That's right.
And so is Mary Poppins.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It's just.
Goodness.
Well, what we do with that magic is the boy from South Africa, they had taken them to the Lion King. Lion King in New York, and they were like, they all said to me at once, oh my. You know, that show takes your breath away. Takes your breath away. There is nothing like that show.
I went. From beginning to end of that show, and so did Kathy Adams.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Well, we went to see it the night before opening night, so everybody was at fever pitch, you know. And, you know, when you're in the theater and you can feel the electricity in the air of this cast knowing what they have, and they can't wait to share it, you know? They just can't wait to give it to the world. You know, it was. And I said, what did you think when the Spiral came out of the stage? And he was saying, oh, my gosh, every moment, you know, and those giraffes walking across the back.
Oh.
And then when their mask would come flying off the back over the top of their heads. Chilli Tamar is a genius. She's just a genius.
Did you see the Lion King show at Disney?
Nope. Didn't see that at Disney.
It is
It's beautiful. A lot of stuff at Disney. I was so mad that Cirque was on vacation. I was really looking forward to seeing Cirque. So instead I ate in Planet Hollywood, which was wonderful too. We called somebody from Planet Hollywood and they said it's so loud. I said it's supposed to be loud. I don't understand
people with noise. When it's supposed to be loud, it's supposed to be loud, right?
But not only that, but
right.
You don't go down there to complain, for goodness sake.
No.
Either enjoy it or go to your room.
Right. So I'm going to end by saying everybody have a magical night and a magical day tomorrow, and make a big wish so that your dreams come true.
And you too, Shane.
Yeah.
Have fun. Thank
yeah.
you so
let's,
much.
Let's,
what a
let's
fun
heal
show.
The water. Let's
yeah.
heal
everybody
the water.
Bless water.
Pray for water. Bye.
Love you.
Okay. Love you. I'm going to be playing the music of Mother and Child by Stevie Jensen.